To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Mia Hansa Aloha and Christy Doherty, and our special Sugar Mama premium sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines with a sexy J. Hello and welcome back to Watch What Crappens for Married to Medicine. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Audiobook Podcast, and I'm here with Ben Mandelka of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you doing on this fine Friday afternoon?
I love a Friday, girl.
Yay, we made it.
We did it.
We did it.
The ending of our first week of 5 days a week.
I know. It's exciting.
Doesn't it feel amazing?
Feels amazing.
Me too. So,
is it bad if I say that I have stock public domain music from Ladies of London in my head? Is that bad?
No. How can you not? I mean, it's, and ever since I found out it's like the same girl making all the songs, it just makes it so much better.
It really does.
It's Friday, but now it is Friday. Friday is the end of the week because I'm a girl.
I don't care about the other days of the week. I only care about Friday. And by Friday, I mean Monday.
I like that you make her all deep at the end. It's like, wait a second. This song's poetry.
She always has a little a little something at the end. Friday's the day for me to wish it were Thursday.
Cause I'm a girl.
Girls like fun and they like Fridays, but guess what? I'm a boy.
Well, this is not Ladies of London.
No,
this
it's
is
not.
Ladies of Married to Medicine. And what
yes.
ladies they are, guys. What ladies. Ladies they are.
When I think of this show, I just think of one word. Lady.
Lady. So why did I write Teresa at the vent? Oh, I'm on the wrong Married to Medicine girl. I got Married to Medicine Houston. I was like, what's Teresa doing on this show? Who Teresa? And what does she want?
And who's Teresa on Married to Medicine Houston?
The transgender old lady who has her own gyms.
What?
Isn't her name Teresa? She's like, yeah, this place looks great.
Yeah, I forgot about her. Anyway.
So anyway, Houston, sorry. We'll get to you another time.
Well, we already got to Houston, if you remember, from earlier this week.
Oh yeah, I forgot. It's over now. Bye, Houston.
It's over. It's done. So anyway, so the Marriage Medicine. So by the way, we understand the new episode of Marriage Medicine is airing tonight. This is like a catch up to remind you of what happened last week to get you ready for tonight's episode. Mm-hmm. So, we open up with the usual montage of things going around town in Atlanta. It's the usual stuff. Jack is heading to the hospital because she's tired. She's not enough hours in the day and all that stuff. And then it's like Lisa Nicole doing something like, you want a Bentley? I don't know too many 12-year-olds that have a Bentley.
As long as you never lie to me.
As long as you say I can have a baby and promise that your father loves me and all women, not men.
I don't know. That was.
Do you want a Bentley or don't you want a Bentley? Just tell me the truth.
Crazy ass Heavenly writing on the mirror in lipstick or some shit. It's like, life and death is the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Okay, Heavenly. That's not going to work. Okay.
She pledges not to curse more. She's like, I'm not going to have profanity as much. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how long that lasts.
Not she very tells long. Us,
I'm on the journey of being a better person. And these are tests I'm failing. Lisa Nicole pretends she's perfect, and she called me a drunk. Maybe I just shouldn't say anything to her at all.
Like, maybe you should stop thinking of things like that. Because I think she did those things because you told her her husband is a cheating gay guy.
So, yeah.
You know, cause and effect. Cause and effect.
I'm afraid that her journey to being a better person is with Southwest Airlines. Just a lot of stops and bad jokes.
And everyone's mad at the end. But they don't know why. They're like, oh, I'm furious. Like, have fun.
And they didn't really save as much money as they thought they would have.
Now, this show, we didn't cover last week. We talked about it on our bonus episode, but we didn't do a full recap. And I think I talked about this already, but just this clip of how it opened, saying previously on, and Toya going off about Janice, not understanding. Janice showed me that she doesn't know shit about what Toya and her family need. Well, she's mad because Janice didn't know the brand of the stove. And it's this huge, like, kitchen grade, like, professional kitchen grade stove. And Toya's mad because it doesn't say Frigidaire. I just love this fucking show. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah, my feelings about the show have changed over time. I loved it the first season, and now my feelings have changed. So anyway, so meanwhile, Quad is now making breakfast while her nephew is sitting in the corner. I mean, for some reason, I feel like now all Quad scenes seem to involve her making breakfast in her little kitchen. Or her big kitchen, I should really say. It's a big kitchen with her little island on it. But she's just always making breakfast.
She's telling the baby's eating Cheerios off of his little high chair thing, as babies are wont to do. And she's like, now, baby, you don't got to stuff them all in your mouth at the same time, once at a time. That is a mouth, not the anal cavity of a turkey. Where does Quad come up with this shit? How did you get to the anal cavity of a turkey from a baby eating a Cheerio? You know, I love the leaps that she makes.
Yeah, exactly. And why would she expect the child to know what an anal cavity is? Pressing questions. So Dr. Gregory comes in and he's like wearing like all orange or something like that. And they start talking about I guess he had a birthday party in the previous episode, and they're just recapping it and everything. And one of the things that happened was that Mariah and Aiden, I guess they were invited and yet they weren't actually welcome to the party, because I didn't watch the episode. I was like, it's Christmas break. I don't have to watch an episode of the show. Yeah. I'm taking the day.
Merry Christmas to me. One thing that wasn't in the Bible, Jesus sitting around watching Mary de Medicine, okay?
Yeah. So they were in events. They were talking about it. And I love Quad. You know, whenever Quad is trying to be very serious, she tries to use big words because that gives her more authority in what she's saying. In fact, everyone on this show does it, to be honest. You know, this is when they all say, well, what has transpired was. So Quad starts saying, yes, well, they were not prohibited into the party. Like, that really makes no sense. They actually were prohibited. Totally. They don't get prohibited into something.
Maybe she was trying to use big words on the invitation, and that's why they were confused. She was like, you are no longer prohibited into coming into my party. And Mariah's like, girl, that means I was invited. So
yeah, exactly. If you're not prohibited into something, that means you have free access. I think you may be thinking permitted, but I don't know.
And Quad's like, I don't go into parties that I'm non-prohibited from coming to.
Prohibition was a great time. It meant that we could all drink all for years and years.
I don't know why people complain about Prohibition, girl. That's when the turkey's cavities were getting stuffed and everybody was invited to everything.
It's like what I always say. Prohibition is like a palm tree on a cactus. It's going to be prickly and a chance of rain.
And Gregory's like, can I have a baby yet? She's like, no, Gregory. Okay, I'll go back to bed now. So now it's Mariah and her husband in bed. And Mariah's like, how are you? And he's like, oh, good. I mean, you know, it was an exciting night. She goes, oh, now being rejected from a party, that was not exciting.
Like, and he's like, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I just like that he was like, he's like, yeah. He's like, no. I mean, hooks never get rejected. Sorry, honey. Hooks do not get rejected. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, then why are you sitting here in your bed doing nothing, talking about how you're rejected?
Mariah looks like a crazy vampire with those contacts too. They just look creepy.
I noticed it.
They look like horror show, like on Halloween when people give themselves like zombie eyes. They're yellow or something. They're not right.
Yeah. I tried to get a screen grab of it, and then I was like, ugh, why am I wasting my time with this?
What's the disease that gives you yellow eyes?
Jaundice.
Jaundice. Yeah, she looks jaundiced. Maybe that's why they wouldn't have let her in. She's like, Quad's like, no one with illness.
No cast members of Twilight.
So Mariah's all mad, and then Mariah's justified. You know, Mariah's another one who just refuses to accept that she's a total bitch on wheels and tries to ruin everybody's lives. And then she's like, what I do? And she's sitting there and she goes, well, Miss Quad, she didn't want me at her party because she knew I would be a bigger person. And that's not how Quad operates. Like, Quad was afraid that you were going to be a bigger person, so she didn't let you in. Listen to yourself.
Yeah. They're both awful because, you know, this feud has been going on for several years. And I never know whose side to take. And I'm realizing that I just really dislike them both. These days, I'm actually more on Mariah's side, which is shocking because I used to hate Mariah. But I think that Mariah actually – I feel like Mariah is actually trying to grow, even though she can't. But I feel like she's trying. I don't think Quad is trying. I think Quad is petty, and she sees herself as the star of this show, and she's making good TV. And, in fact, their whole feud – I think it's been the downfall of this show because it was a feud that started at some dinner that happened in between seasons. And it was a feud that was based off of like, who's more famous. So it's bullshit. It's bullshit stuff that no one cares about. And they've maintained this feud for now like 3 years. And I just don't think that the interest is very strong in it. Like it's just not a good feud.
Yeah. It's a feud that started in Akaro's. Like a long time ago, and it's like dragging.
It just
on
keeps
a
on going,
too.
And they keep on resolving it, and then they fight again and resolve. And like no one cares, but it takes up a lot of airtime.
But it does crack me up still because Quad does things like this. Mariah goes, now the icing on the cake was when Miss Quad left cash at the door for transportation.
Yeah, that was weird.
Quad's like, tell them they are no longer prohibited, and. I've left them $1 for an Uber. Like, nice. So funny.
You can't tell a peacock to take a bus to the Grand Canyon. Gotta leave money for it.
And Mariah says, you gotta be a messy bitch who ain't used to a thing. I'm like, I never know what you're saying, but it's hilarious either way. So
then Quad is trying to justify this whole thing. And I think this is why I get irritated with Quad, because she plays innocent. She's like, listen, you know, I didn't want Mariah to feel humiliated or left out. I just wanted to focus on my husband's party. It's like, no, you specifically humiliated and left out Mariah. So if you didn't want her to feel that way, you wouldn't have done any of those things.
Well, Mariah has decided now that I'm over the antics. And so she's mad now at all the ladies for not standing up and saying something to her about her or whatever. And she's like, why didn't Simone say something? So now she's going to try and... apparently in the last episode that we didn't watch, there was a part where Mariah and Simone were talking about their relationship, which of course involved Quad too, because that's how the show runs. And Quad ran up and started yelling at them and had this big fit. And she's like, why wasn't Simone disinvited from this party? So that's like her big thing now for this episode. So Toya, as Lorianne Commons calls her, Toya Income Destroyer, is house shopping on the internet for
Eugene.
For a new house, and because they can't afford their $10,000 a month rental or whatever.
Exactly. Now Toya, I mean, you know, Toya just loves to go through money, and Eugene is a smart man. He's sensible from what we can tell, except he has a blind spot when it comes to Toya. And you know, he wants to downsize to something that they can afford. And Toya's like, well, I don't know if we could go to a small house. The kids are not going to like it. And he's like, no, you brainwash the kids because you complain so much about small, like things being small and not being nice enough. The kids are just going to follow that. He's like, you know, kids are parents to parents. And Toya goes, did you just call my kid a parrot? She's so stupid.
She tells us, $8,000 is $3,000 less than what we currently pay. I'm like, you're going for an $8,000 house? You are about to be jailed for non-payment of taxes. You do not need to be spending $8,000 a month on a house, you crazy bitch. Get a job.
And well, she... I should have did is go to a bigger house, because if you go to a bigger house, you can write off more. So actually, that goes back to the IRS, and you don't owe anything, and they owe you money. So that's what I should have did.
Well, I should have did. Ooh, Gene.
Ooh, Gene. Two could play at that game. Whoa, did I just call my kids toucans?
So she's like, here's my list of things I need, Eugene. A neighborhood, backyard, sidewalks, and a closet. Because you know I got to have my clothes in the guest room. That's tacky. He's like, but yes. I can do it. She's like, you could use the playroom. I just like we'll that do. Sidewalks are on her list.
I know. I like that too.
I want sidewalks, a backyard. Oh, and it's got to be an $11,000 house that looks exactly like the one we live in. And in fact, should be the one that we live in. That's what I want.
Poor thing. So Simone and her husband, basically nothing, right? Except that they're planning on going to Hawaii for their anniversary, and it's going to be a group trip, because that always
great
works
idea.
Out.
Great yeah. idea. Yes, that's basically it. She's like in her little, she's got her little thing on her head and everything, and she's confused about a cell phone. Her iPhone isn't working right. It was basically like a nothing scene. But we learned that they're going on a couple's trip, and it's going to be a disaster. And so, then...
just a little side scene. It's like a little baby scene. But Jackie's with a patient. And she's like, now, what can we do to talk you into more babies? And she, the lady goes, no. Shop be closed.
Oh, God. Jackie loves putting baby pressure on people.
She does. She's like projecting her baby fail onto other people. It's so sad. Yeah.
Her favorite movie must be Junior. She's like, look, this is a movie where men can have babies. It's more babies.
Now, if I could impregnate Arnold Schwarzenegger, I would. So Mariah and Simone go to lunch. And...
where they're served by Sade. I'm fairly certain it was Sade who was serving them. I was like, wow. I mean, I know Sade hasn't had a song on the radio in a while, but now she's a waitress in Atlanta?
Now, Simone is doing that thing with Mariah that she does when someone is just wrong. It's like the same voice she uses when she tells somebody they have cancer all over their body. Yes. You know, she's like, she puts her lips out and like makes that very serious face and just nods and goes, a lot. And Mariah's like, now, could you tell me what I did to that girl? Referring to Quad, which, I mean, this you've seen this show probably 19 times an episode, Mariah. You know what you did to Quad.
So here's this is where I'm going to say something that's I'm going to say quote unquote controversial, because it's not really controversial because we're only talking about Marriage and Medicine. But they're talking and Simone mentions that her dad died. And I think this is the first time it was addressed on the show. I don't think it was last episode, I'm assuming, because there seemed to be a lot of exposition here. But Simone announces that they found her dad's body. He died and it was tough and sad. And Mariah is genuinely rattled by it. You can see at this moment, she's not doing her shady thing. And she's like, oh, my God, you know, she's really, I think, actually being a very good friend in that moment, being really concerned, whatever. And then as Simone tells the story about, I went to Nashville, I went with Jackie and I went with Quad. I honestly feel like the look on Mariah's face, she looked genuinely hurt by that. I don't think that was a moment of her acting or her being petty. I think that Mariah actually feels very close with Simone. And when she heard that Simone brought Jackie and Quad for the thing to find the father, I think she looked genuinely, genuinely hurt. And that's why I think I am actually starting to move over more to Mariah's side, because I feel like she's more hurt than Quad is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but she caused so much shit that she got ousted. You know, she ended up getting ousted. And so she's been trying to work her way in. But then even when she works her way back in, she causes all this shit. And then she doesn't get ousted. They let her back. But first of all, if someone's dad is found, you know, that's in all the blogs. I didn't read them because I didn't know until recently. And I feel stupid. So, but that the cast members know. It's like Lisa Vanderpump saying on Beverly Hills, she's like, I hadn't heard about your mother until last week. Like, yes you did. It's an all you I know you got a Google alert about your show coming in, like, you knew. So to me, I mean, and generally I'm more cynical anyway, but to me, she's crying because not only did she not get to be in the scene where Simone's crying about her dad, which I know sounds terrible, but she also found out that Simone has chosen to shoot with other people throughout the season and didn't tell her.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably it, too. And I did write a note that Mariah looks truly hurt, although it's really not about her. But I don't know. I feel like when Mariah left the show or was out of the show for a little bit and continues to be just like a friend of, I do feel like she maybe has grown a little bit. I just feel like there's some introspection there that's not there with Quad. I feel like there's something that, like, because now also Quad has a pattern of behavior. You know, she had her stupid fight with Lisa Nicole, which was one of the stupidest fights, although it was entertaining. But it was one of those things where you start to realize, wait a second, here I was always on Team Quad and I've always hated Mariah, but now I'm realizing Quad is actually ridiculous.
Yes.
And you know what? I maybe have to rethink my stance on Mariah. So I'm in a state where I'm moving, the needle is moving more towards Mariah for me of these two stupid ladies.
I feel like it's choosing fights in a chicken fight. You can't, like, they're both poultry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just have no, I don't even know who to bet on. You know, they're both ridiculous to me. They're two dumb hens. I'm like, one of them's going to get pummeled to death by the end, and I really don't care, but I'm really going to enjoy watching it happen.
Well, I think Toya has the right idea by putting together a passive-aggressive spa day to...
Oh my God.
Treat the women and call them out all at the same
time.
That
is straight up aggressive.
Yeah, that was aggressive. So she tells Eugene her plan that she's going to treat everyone to a spa day for the things that they need. So, for instance, she's like, well, you know, like Lisa Nicole fashions are like, you know, not the most expensive fabric and, you know, they make it look really fat. So, you know, I'm going to get to a trainer. And I loved that, when she said that not the nicest fabrics and, you know, how her abs are falling out, they flash back to Lisa Nicole wearing that stupid red outfit with the pom-poms on it. And Lisa Nicole goes, this is our new collection. It's called The Return of the Lady. And I just, for some reason, that just made me crack up that she would call her stupid dress The Return of the Lady.
That's like when it's Christmas and strippers are all in their like Santa whore outfits. It's like red fur coming around her mommy bump or whatever.
Not even as classy.
And Toya, what was her next one?
Well,
I have friends in high places. I know the manager of a nail salon. Like, that's like literally not a friend in a high place.
Yeah. So then the conversation, you know, Eugene is like, don't do this. It's aggressive. You're going to start fights. He's like, no, it's just honest. It's just honest feedback. I would want it. And he's like, don't.
It's insulting. Insulting. And she goes, I don't need your negativity, Eugene.
He's like, but you need my money, so.
I lead sidewalks from you. That's what I lead.
I just want a good sidewalk. My favorite book in the whole world is Charles Silverstein. Where the sidewalk ends. Where does it end, Eugene?
Well, their conversation ends up moving into
Hawaii.
She's telling Eugene, she's like, well, I really wish that you would appreciate Simone offering to pay for our trip to Hawaii. And then they cut back to Simone, subtle as ever. They're all sitting, it's all the cast sitting around in a huge circle. And she's like, now, would you like us to pay for your trip to Hawaii? We know that you're having trouble. Like, as loud as possible. And he's like, I don't need a handout, okay? And she's like, okay, well, my hand is out. So if you need it. He's like, nope, I really don't.
And I love how, you know, because this is like really insulting to Eugene as a doctor who can't afford to go to Hawaii. And I just love that Toya's response is, you'll just love to exert your manhood. I'm like, I think you mean assert your manhood, not exert it. You just love running it out.
Your manhood is like a egg on a sidewalk. Messy. Smelly. I don't want my kids running around that.
What you should have did was prohibited your manhood from exerting itself. Now it's going to throw up.
I can't feel for him not affording Hawaii. I mean, you're looking to pay $8,000 a month, and you can't buy a damn Southwest ticket. Come on.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's got Toya. That's the problem. This is not news. This has been going on since season one. The woman is spending all his money.
Yep. And she tells him, she goes, at least let them pay for the plane ticket. Oh, wait, what'd she say? At least let them pay for the room and we'll pay the plane ticket because that's the most expensive part. And he's like, fine. And she goes, oh, no, she goes, let them pay for the room. They owe us that after the last time or whatever. So he goes, okay, fine. She goes, good. Well, now I can go shopping and spend that money on new clothes.
Stupid Toya.
He's like, damn it, that's what I was talking about. And she goes, whoa, we're saving money.
We're saving money because Simone's going to pay for it. In fact, Simone's going to pay for our house now. Great.
We're going to live in Simone's East Side house.
We'll look a compass.
She got two houses. So next is Jackie and her husband. I don't really have a lot to say about them either. How about you?
I said Curtis is annoyed about something because basically they're finally moving into this house and she painted something and he's annoyed now. And at first when the scene began, I was like, ugh, more stupid, you know, drama that we don't really care about. But by the end of the scene, I was like, you know what? This is actually very tense. This actually feels like a real fight that they're having. And it's
he's
a real problem.
He's like ready to divorce her ass.
Yeah.
And she's like, do you like the kitchen? Do you like it? And he's like, well, I didn't agree to paint this kitchen. She's like, my question to you, do you like this kitchen? He's like, ugh. He's like, you know what I would like is to spend time with my wife. She's like, I do spend time with you. He's like, you got a charity here and a this there, and you won't even talk to me. You walk in on the phone, and then you sit at your computer and do your charts. And she goes, I sit right next to you while I do those charts.
Well, it's funny. I see both sides. I actually side with Dr. Jackie on this because she is a doctor and she is ambitious. And that's, I think, probably always been part of her personality. And that's what he signed up for. And I think it's great that she's doing this stuff. And I do think that, like, if she's sitting next to him doing the charts, I think that's valuable. I think doing work next to your loved one, you're still sort of together. You know, you can still make comments to each other. You know, I like that. But I do understand what he's saying, which is that, listen, I'm not opposed to you working, but you just keep on adding stuff onto your plate. And it's to the point where it's getting in the way of us.
Yeah.
And normally this is the time when we normally say something like, well, she's paying the bills, so you better shut up. But I don't think that's what he's complaining about. I think he's just like, I want time with you. And I think he wouldn't mind just leaving and getting a small house for himself. He can pay the bills. He's got a steady job at the high school.
Yeah. And she doesn't get it. She's like, I moved into this house. He got his way. I don't know. But he just wants to spend time with you. I mean, that's kind of cute.
Yeah. But it is actually very sweet.
But I mean, like, literally boring.
Boring, but cute. Well, because they're like the two adults on this show. So, you know, they have boring drama because they're adults.
But I liked it on the commercials they keep showing. They're like, married to medicine is getting hot. And she's like, you have disrespected me again. It's like Jackie, the one time she loses it. Yeah. They show it on every commercial now.
Yeah, exactly.
So next up is Quad.
Making Quentin. Breakfast again.
She Seriously. Was, huh?
Yeah, she's always making like bacon or oatmeal.
Oh, she's like, and the heavens have opened up, honey, and the gates are there. And Quentin walked through those gates and was unprohibited from getting the job, honey.
This is actually her exact quote because I wrote it down. She goes, yes, God, Miss Quad, honey. The heavens opened up their gates, honey. Quentin got a job, honey. I'm like, that actually made very little sense. Maybe the last part did. But yes, God, Miss Quad, honey. That's like little. I don't. And then I don't know.
Yes,
I
mean, Quad, I sort of Miss it. God. God, Miss Quad, honey.
Quad, sail the quads at the quad of college quad. Yes, God, quad, quad, Lord, God, Lord. I'm gonna rhyme everything about Dodd, Kelly Dodd.
So she's telling him now. She gets into her like IRS suit or whatever, her yes. IRS lady suit, and she's like, now, Quentin, what title? What is your title? And he's like, I'm installing cable. She goes, is that a title? And he's like, I'm the communications officer of Intel of Spectrum Cable. She's like, nah, that's good. Nah. Yeah.
She then starts telling him that he has to budget. And I was getting so ready for her to do some role playing as a banker. Okay, I'll be the banker. Excuse me, Mr. Quentin. Would you like a loan? Yes. Well, why do you need a loan? What's your credit, Mr. Quentin? I was like, you know, she was dying to do some banker role play.
She's like, nah, Mr. Quentin. I will give you $20, but you know that's going to be another $2 charge on top of your bank's $3 charge. Yes, Quad, Miss God, honey.
This is like yes, an ATM. Quad, financial news. By the way, the most exciting part of the scene for me was the fact that Quad had the same spoon as I had in my childhood, a little spoon that looked like a scallop shell that I used to eat yogurt with. I saw it. I was like, my childhood.
And it's Quad. Imagine if you were raised by Quad. And she's teaching him how to make a budget. She's like, nah, we need a spending budget so you can save. This is not Magic City, and you can't make it rain. You can't even make it drizzle.
There's some precipitation coming through, and it is not prohibited.
There's 9% chance of God on the squad rain coming down on your head, drizzle, make it rain, Magic Mike.
The only hail I care about is the one that say, Hail Quad. Yes, Lord.
So we
get
what
they say, you can't bring an umbrella to a knife fight.
We get to the wellness spa, and Toya's like, this is brutally honest spa day. I'm about to bring out all the character flaws and tell them, look. So Mariah goes in first, and what did I write down? Sick boot. What does that mean?
Oh, because Mariah has a boot on. Because she broke her leg, her foot, doing something. She mentioned early in the season. I don't remember what it was.
But I was like, this is more in. Quad slang I don't get, but Quad isn't here yet. Girl, yeah, you got a sick boot like a fruit, honey.
Honey, you can only wear a boot in one place, and that is at a table factory under the Bastille Day celebrations.
And Mariah's
that was
like,
a hard one to get out for me. I was like, ooh, I'm in a corner here. It's weird. I don't know what I'm going to do. Bastille Day. Works. It worked.
So Mariah limps in, and she's like, well, I can't believe that Toya would even approach me after she's the one who started all this mess. I'm like, you're literally approaching Toya right now. Why did you not just not come, you weirdo? Yeah. So she comes, and then Heavenly and Lisa Nicole come, which is really awkward. And Heavenly goes, this is awkward. And Lisa Nicole, after we had a verbal altercation. I was like, Heavenly's like the only person on the show who can use those words properly. So she automatically wins any fight, except for Dr. Jackie.
Yes. Janice, meanwhile, shows up wearing basically a cocktail napkin. And it's not a commentary on how short her skirt is. It's just that her skirt literally looks like a cocktail napkin. It's like making a little diamond. It was like she took it. She took off her pants, but kept the napkin on. I was like, I'm just going to walk in wearing this.
I like that Janice always looks like she's listening very intently, but could also yell at you at any moment. She's always looking like, and then her earrings are always huge and dangling back and forth. I'm like, oh my God, this woman's about to go off. And then she's like, hi.
She is like waiting for her moment, and she never seems to realize when it is.
Yeah. Your moment was with the stove. Okay.
And then Quad comes in, and she has one of her most forced jokes ever. And this is coming from me, who makes a lot of forced jokes. And she goes, honey, this spa is for R&R, not M-A-R-I-A-H. It's like, Quad, I mean, we know you don't make sense, but you can do better.
It's worse when she doesn't make sense and she's actually pre-written the line. Because you know that she's practiced this in front of Quentin, the sister-in-law, her husband, or whatever, and no one had the forethought to tell her that doesn't make any sense.
It just doesn't work. It's not as good. I prefer her nonsense. For instance, I'd prefer to say this.
Baby, Toy done pushed through honey hall her bait number.
And of course, there's also the classic.
Me and Miss Jill, the daffodil has it, honey.
That's just come in, say nonsense that literally is unintelligible. It's just phonics. Just say, just do phonics, and we'll assign the meaning.
Those clips kill me.
Baby,
baby,
toy done pushed through honey ho Irve number.
She loses Toya done pushed through ho honey Irve number.
Ha, baby. Tied on, boo boo, cuckoo, floo boo, foo doo doo boo doo boo doo doo, ba doo ba doo ba doo.
That shit makes me die every time. See, that's why I can never be against Quad. She's hilarious. So Toya's like, "Well, everybody, I would like to call this court to a sessions." Now, She's like, we're going to Hawaii, and I want to all be in a good place because this trip is free for me. I don't want to waste it. I'm turning Toya into Pearl from 227, by
you
the
are.
Way.
You
and
are.
And I hear it happening. I hear it happening.
Don't have to talk like this. Toya. All right. So, Lisa Nicole, I want you to feel better about yourself. So, we're going to get your core together so that way you can have that baby because babies can't be born in fat stomachs.
And Lisa Nicole goes, my core is good, baby. And how do you know? Maybe I can't do core exercises because how do you know if I'm with child or not?
Yeah.
Because you're like 60. That's how we know.
I didn't just have a Ben and Jerry's crunchy core. How do you know?
And I love that. So I was like, so are you with child?
I will announce that when it is time for that to transpire.
Shut up, Lisa Nicole. Trying to make it sound like you're in court.
And then Toya, she gets really pissed off. And who did she tell? Oh, she goes, well, you get your cool dead, and you getting cellulite wrap.
No, Toya goes, you get your cool dead. And then Lisa Nicole's like,
and you're going to get your cellulite done.
Oh, thank you. My notes are confused.
And then the best, though, the very, very best to me was when Toya says to Quad,
so we're going to do, you have such a beautiful face and, you know, we want it to be even better. So we're going to take off all that makeup and give you a facial. It'll be really nice. You got to get your paws for cleaning. It'll be really nice.
And Quad was so furious. She's like, she did not want to take off her makeup that she spent 2 hours putting on for the camera. But Mariah goes, Quad, no makeup and hair? Honey, that's Mr. Potato Head. And I laughed out loud. I mean, really loudly. I was like, I think this is the funniest thing that Mariah has ever said. She said a lot of funny stuff. But calling Quad Mr. Potato Head without her hair and makeup. Oh, and even better was that Quad was about to be like, Hana, I don't take off this makeup. But Mariah was like, well, I know that Quad will take it off because she's a good sport. And Quad's like, that is right. I will take off my makeup. So angry.
And Quad was like, woozah, woozah meditation,
girl. Baby, make up a facial, got a booby love laugh up.
So Heavenly, meantime, Heavenly is going, she's like doing this crazy witch laugh. It is so loud and hilarious. And Quad goes, energy work. Who did she give energy work to? I don't know why I'm taking so many nonsensical notes in this. I was trying to transcribe every moment. Why?
So Quad, well, she wanted to give energy work to who's left on the show?
I think Mariah, right? Because then Mariah goes, oh, well, yeah, you should do it too. And I was like, wow, way to destroy your amazing line right before.
Yeah, Toya's like, okay. And then you know what I loved? She's giving everyone facials, relaxation, energy work. And she's like, Janice, you have to do yoga. Everyone else is relaxing. And Janice gets stuck doing yoga. And Janice is like, well, I'm tired. And Janice is supposed to be like a fitness person. And she's stuck sweating her ass off and in pain.
So Jackie gets to go get some Botox and Restylane and stuff. And yeah. Heavenly goes, well, she real skinny. So to make her face look less busted and little and skeleton-like, she need fillers. A 30 pounds, girl. And Janice,
I didn't curse.
So let's see. The Reiki lady was hilarious. She's like, hello, welcome to Reiki. I'm not going to speak from this point on unless I'm directed by a spirit to do so. Dong, 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 dong. She starts donging that little gold bowl like from All of Me. When the spirits are
Mary
accidentally
appeared inside of Mariah.
And then Jackie, what does Jackie say? Maybe you could do someone's vagina. Oh, they're talking about labial Botox.
Yeah.
And Quad goes, well, I think some girls have an open door policy. They're just open for no reason, girl.
Quad, the gates? Oh, honey, the gates are open. By the gates, I mean the labia, because I don't belong to any labia labels.
Like, Quad, what are you saying now?
I don't know. I'm just saying words that start with L. Labia, labels, lapels, lipples.
That's not even a word, lipple. I don't know.
So What's her buns? Toria goes in bugging everybody while they're trying to get their relaxing thing. She's like, "Don't you love what I made you do?" Like, she's trying to get credit from everybody.
So you relaxed. You relaxed. You relaxed. You relaxed.
So she goes into the massage room where Simone is supposed to be getting her massage, and instead, Lisa Nicole is on the table. Who did I say?
Lisa Nicole is on the table. Simone is supposed to be in there alone because Simone's been dealing with the death of her father, and Toya genuinely wanted Simone to have some alone time where she can just relax and tune everyone out. So, of course, there's Lisa Nicole in there not dealing with her trainer.
And she's on the table about to get the massage. And she's like, "What are you doing in here?" And she's like, "I want to be in the Zen Zone. Is that okay with you?" She's like, "Why is she on the massage table and Simone's in the chair?" That's just so Lisa Nicole. You know, Lisa Nicole, yes, when she started this, was so boring. I mean, wow. Really, really boring. Like, no personality or whatever. But she's now just she's really just turned into just an asshole.
I was going to say, well, she started off this her run on Marriage Medicine being so boring. And what's amazing is that now, 3 years in, she's become just still so boring. But now annoying and boring. She's awful, but and I love that Toya, who is so concerned with Simone having tranquility, starts yelling, "Why the fuck would you go into the room?" It's great. Great. That's going to really work well with Simone's tranquility. Although, actually, given Simone's track record, she probably is most relaxed when people are yelling.
Yeah. So they go into the
lobby. And since when did, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but since when did Toya and Simone become some close? Didn't they have weren't they hating each other last year? They couldn't stand the sight of each other. They were just fighting, like, cats and dogs. And now, you know, Toya's like, "I love you." Where did this come from?
It seems to be a thing with Toya where she's just rude and awful to everybody, and then they all let her have it, but then she's like that again and they realize she's just stupid. Like, she doesn't even seem to get it. She's just an idiot. And they're like, "Oh, there's our idiot, you know, sister who's always telling everybody off." And I don't know, it's like a rite of passage on these shows.
Yeah. So ultimately, this Toya and Lisa Nicole thing turns into a huge fight, and Lisa Nicole takes this as Toya bossing her around, which is really not what it was. Lisa Nicole, you know, Toya says explicitly she didn't want anyone to bother Simone, and then Lisa Nicole turns into, like, "You don't get to tell me what to do," and then they start yelling, and she's like, "I'm not Eugene, you don't run me, bitch," which Toya responds by saying, "Family is off limits. Family's off limits with your gay-ass husband."
And Mariah's like, "Oh, go, Lisa Nicole. You go get her ass." Mariah always rooting for the satanic side.
Yeah, always.
Oh,
always,
man.
Always.
This show is nuts. So this was episode 8, I think. I'm not sure how many they're doing this year. Not a good sign that it got moved to Friday, but Jesus, this show makes me laugh every time I watch it, so I know it's like not one of your faves at the moment, but I hope they pull it back around.
Yeah, I'm always hopeful they'll pull it back around, but I don't know. I think these women are not always giving themselves. I just feel like they manufacture a lot of drama, and to me that just rings false.
Yeah.
And that bothers me.
Well,
who knows? Maybe it'll come back, and maybe it'll surge. I remember last season I also was not so happy with it, and then the second half got really good. So, you know, there's always hope.
We're going to find out tonight, because it's back on tonight, Friday night. Everybody, thank you so much.
Oh, no.
What did I forget?
We actually forgot to do Crappin's Mailbag, which is the Friday thing.
Oh, okay. Well, knock it out. Let's knock out some mailbag, man.
Let's knock out some mailbags. Normally, we'll do this at the top of the show, but since we were so excited, we got right into Marriage and Medicine. We have a few things left over from our last mailbag, and then we'll get into our new mailbag, too. Marg Knapp says, "What Canadian city do you think should be..." Oh, by the way, I didn't play the Crappin's Mailbag music, but I'm sure we can all move on. What Canadian city do you think should be a franchise? Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada, political and historical. Toronto, lots of money people, multicultural. Or Montreal, heart of French-Canadian people, lots of old money, snooty folks, also drinking ages 18. I think Montreal is a definite one. We definitely need to see some French-Canadians on TV.
Wherever they charge like three times as much for books, because that's really all I know about Canada, because I would, you know, read a lot of books when I was younger, and on the back it always says US $5, Canada $15. And I was like, holy crap, who lives in Canada and why are they paying so much for a book? So that's really all I know about Canada. And also Celine Dion.
Yeah. I was about to say the province that gave us Celine Dion is like, what else do we need? I mean, Celine Dion shows what sort of show we would have, and it would be wonderful.
Yeah, I would love a Celine one. I'd like a Celine getting on with her life after Winnie.
Yeah. What I like about Montreal is that you'd have the pushiness of the French with the grudge holding of the Québécois. You know their license plate is Je me souviens, which means I remember.
Canada.
Lori, there's an emergency outside. Lori says, we love Lori. Hi, Lori. She says, hello, darlings. Can you believe it? I'm already married. She says, I was doing some old OC viewing, and I'm on the season where Lori Waring and her weird mouth were trying to convince us that she and George were showing the world their fairy tale love. Based on that season-long trip to Delusion Town, can you guys rank the top five Bravo bridezillas, their level of delusion, their whining, bad treatment of friends and family, etc.? Thanks. I found my soulmate. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Well, Luann has – we've gotten a taste of her being a bridezilla because she has already started pulling her, well, if you want to talk like that, you won't be invited to the wedding. You know, yeah. She's done shit like that, but we didn't have to put up with too much of it from her, mostly because her husband got caught cheating on camera.
Yes.
So she had to shut up pretty quick about that. Katie's a monster, I think.
Katie is a total monster. Sheena was sort of a monster, but Katie is more of a monster than Sheena was.
Yeah, Sheena was a monster, but she was like a Sheena, you know?
She was. I don't think she treated her friends badly, and I don't think she was too delusional, except for the fact that her marriage would work out. But she did whine a lot. You know, I can't believe this is happening a week before my wedding for everything.
Tamara is a monster in general, and she got married. So does that count? She was also kind of awful during hers, too. I remember her yelling at the wedding planner and stuff. Like, that was not a good look.
Yeah, I would say number one for delusional, honestly. Number one, bridezilla would have to be Luann, just because the delusion is too much. It's too much. However, I say this in the best way. Like, I love the Luann delusion. That's one of her defining features.
Okay, and then so who should we put number two?
I mean, Katie is pretty bad. Katie is pretty, pretty bad. Let's put Katie number two. Why not?
Okay, Katie number two.
I think there's a space for Nini. There's a space for Nini probably at number three in terms of bridezilla.
Oh God, Nini was terrible. Didn't she have a whole spinoff about being terrible for her second wedding to Greg? Yeah. Oh, she was terrible. And then she got all of Greg's kids together.
Yes.
And who Greg totally dumped the minute he started dating Nini because she didn't like the kids. And they were like, well, you know, it's just weird that the minute Dad went with you, you know, he stopped talking to us, and so it's made us feel like you don't even want us. And she's like, well, how do you think I felt? Like, you cheated with their mother. Like, you cheated with their father on their mother and then refused to have them around the house. How do you feel? You awful cow. So
yeah, Nini is probably number one. And actually, probably number two is Bethany. And then probably number three is Kim Zolciak. And then we can put in Luann and then Katie. I think that would be a good top five.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that. I'll co-sign.
Yeah, I feel like Tamara, I mean, I didn't actually watch her wedding series, but I feel like it was just Tamara just being Tamara. I don't think that, like, I can't imagine her becoming any more of a bridezilla. I think she was just steady Tamara. Like, for most people, when they become a bridezilla, they are just only reaching a Tamara level. Tamara just has to stay steady.
Tamara just has to stay at the same level of awful.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, what else is in that mailbag, Ben?
The last thing that we did not address in our mailbag comes from Jackie Flavin, who has a very simple request. Smells like Chateau Charest.
Oh, my God. Well, sawdust.
Small sawdust and fresh baseboards.
Yeah, sawdust and cock, like bathroom cock. I feel like she walks around that house because she likes to accomplish things but doesn't know how to do that much. So I feel like she's the kind of girl to walk around with a cock gun just cocking everything, you know? Ain't going to be like any bugs in my house.
I feel like it smells like Bob's sweaty neck and old cheesecake.
Yeah, it's going to smell like IKEA, Chase Lounge, and Bob's like sweaty ass.
It smells like a box of monkey wrenches and paprika.
It smells like Old Spice and weed because her son is like the cologne he can afford and the marijuana.
It smells like supermarket sushi and a wrapper of a Zone Bar wrapper.
I think it smells like Chinese food because you know she eats a lot of Chinese food and that smell never goes away. And then the smell of those like wet naps that she steals when she poops at the gas station.
It smells like sandbox meets Ferris wheel.
I think it smells like melted Kenya hair that she's like taken off of wigs and like horse poop for some. It's like that kind of house that it's like, why does this house smell like manure? And she's like, it's Miracle-Gro. You got Miracle-Gro?
It smells like someone has pet birds meets cornflakes.
Cornflakes. I wouldn't doubt if that house smelled like hamster wood chips.
Yes.
Have you ever had a hamster?
Oh, yes.
And you have to put them, you have to put wood chips in their cage or whatever. I feel like it smells like wood chips in there. And people walk in and they're like, why does it smell like hamster? And it's because that house has taken so long to build and it's rained and you know it's leaked and it's just like leaking on raw wood. I mean, if anyone has mold in their house, it's Sheree. So I say hamster chips and mold.
Well, you know that she probably saved money on insulation by not installing fiberglass and instead putting a bunch of hamster wood chips in a burlap sack and taping it to the bottom of her floors. So it's not just that it smells like, you know, because like when you put the fresh wood chips in for hamsters, it smells nice. But when it's 3 days later, it just sort of starts to smell dank. That's what it is. A hamster cage that hasn't been cleaned in 3 days.
And that's Sheree's house.
And that's that is Chateau Sheree. Sheree, so let's close up the Crappens mailbag. We're going to close it up.
Diggity dong dong dong
dong.
And that is the end of Crappens. We love you guys. We will talk to you next week. Boy.
Yes. Bye, everyone.